Welcome to Neighborhood Church. To learn more about who we are as a community or to financially support Neighborhood, go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Enjoy the message.
Thank you. Well, now that we have all gathered together, I hope you find value in this. When I was growing up in a fairly conservative Lutheran church, we had the turn and say hello, right? And it was always super short. And I don't know if it was because the pastor just was uncomfortable with the silence. I mean, I get that. But it was always like turn and talk, greet somebody, and then it was about 40 seconds of people like talking to their family first and then barely trying to like reach over the pews to try to get to someone to say hello. I remember as a kid using this time to crawl underneath the pews as far back as humanly possible before my mother's arm, like a rubber arm, just like shot underneath seven pews to the back to like grab a hold of me and drag me back to the front row where we always sat. There were a lot of things growing up that felt very rote, right? And one of them was prayer. We didn't have a lot of prayer growing up, but as a person growing up in a family that centered itself kind of around faith, we had dinner prayers, at least on Sundays, and we heard the Our Father at church, right? We knew the creeds of faith, and after that, it was kind of loosey-goosey, right? There might be some bedtime prayers or some prayers around sickness or if someone was having a hard time and needed a little extra support. But that's kind of where it stopped. And anything, if there's one thing I know, is that when there is an open spot in faith, people can fill it in with a lot of things. It's positive things and some not so great things. My best friend Mary growing up was part of a very charismatic church that really truly believed that anything you prayed for could be given to you. And so as an awkward teenager who didn't have a lot of money, same, she really wanted to have straight teeth. She really wanted to have straight teeth, like a lot of self-conscious teenagers want to. And her church taught her that all she had to do was pray about it. And if her teeth weren't straightening out, there was something wrong in her life that she needed to re-examine because something was wrong. She prayed fervently, like every day, with her whole chest, knowing that God was going to give her straight teeth because they were just going to grow in straight. That prayer was answered because her dad fell in love with blacktopping and set up a business blacktopping. And because he all of a sudden wasn't just relying on the profits that he was making from farming the land, he had enough money to save up and buy his daughter braces. Prayers answered. But it wasn't the way that she thought it was going to be answered. Now, I could go around the room and be like, raise your hand if you've had a prayer answered. Raise your hand if you prayed for something and it didn't turn out. Raise your hand if it kind of turned out, but it turned out in a different way than you expected, right? And we probably would raise our hand for every single one of those things. And so today, I'm talking about what's the deal with prayer. And here's what I'm not going to tell you today. I'm not going to be able to answer, does prayer change anything? I'm not going to be able to answer your question of, is prayer just my own thoughts? Or who or what am I even praying to anyways? Or the sticky question that we've all experienced, why doesn't God answer my prayer when I pray it? I can't answer any of those questions. It is one of those mysteries that we as people have been wrestling with since the dawn of time. I could say like the start of our faith, but it's more than that. You can't tell me that before civilization, when we were just families trying to coexist together, there wasn't that gut feeling in your stomach when you saw someone sick of, I hope somehow they get better. Prayer predates any religion. It is part of who we are. It's a hope. It's a longing. It's a communion with something that we understand is somewhat bigger than us, but also always with us. It's tricky and it's sticky. I've been doing a thing lately where I've been listening to talk radio. And one of the stations that I have is a very conservative, Christian-ish station, that like an outskirts of Christianity, but it's very conservative. And the other day, they had a sermon series about strengthening your grip on the family. And I was like, oh, this sends up all of the red flags in my body, right? And I really sat and I thought about it. I'm like, why? Well, there's so many reasons why, right? But as I have sat with my faith and figured out what I believe and what things feel really sure and what things still feel kind of murky, what I've come to realize is for me, when I approach prayer, when I approach life with open hands, I'm better able to take on what happens. So in this moment, I hold this moment for whatever it is. And I understand my kids may get sick. I may understand this relationship may fall apart. I may understand that I may get a job opportunity that calls me to someplace else. If I hold on too tightly, then I get wrapped up in the results that I thought. I get wrapped up thinking I've done something wrong because my teeth haven't grown in straight. I get too set and held on the how this is going to happen rather than what could and what could be. There are a lot of different people who can talk to you about what faith and prayer can mean for you. Google. I mean, like, little like Googling people. It's really, we don't even have to go and crack open the Bible and flip through horrible stories and some really good stories and then all the Proverbs that feels like it's just 1,000 good fortune cookies that you're just opening up one after another, after another, after another. Like, we don't even have to do that. There are people who've sat and studied their whole life on prayer. But one of them is Richard Rohr, and one of the things that he talks about is that when we approach prayer, when we even approach the scripture, it's like we're riding a tricycle. We have experience, and we've got like church teachings and tradition, right? And this is what guides us through our journey. But our experience is that front wheel. That our experience is that front wheel. So if I'm a person who's prayed and prayed and prayed for miraculous healing of a relationship, and it doesn't ever seem to work out the way that I think it should work out, that steers me in a certain way. it steers me to thinking of a God who, I don't know, is there something wrong with me? Why do these other people get this thing? Am I doing things the wrong way? Or if I have an opportunity to view prayer with an open hand and say, I don't know how much this benefits me or changes the world, but I know it gives me some sort of grounding in myself, and I'm just going to do this. That steers my life and my experience about God and connection to myself, to others, in a very different way. And so that's why I hesitate to say, this is how we do things. Because your wheel, your experience is not my experience. It's not. In 2019, there was a girl, you can research it, it's Redding, California. Her mom was a worship leader at a church. She passed away. She was 2 years old. Horrible, sad, tragic. Her church started a hashtag, Wake Up Olive. And for a week, they met together and prayed for this child to be resurrected in their church. They believed with their whole heart that this was going to happen. Spoiler alert, it didn't. But because of that experience, some people walked away thinking prayer does nothing. And some people felt more connected as a community because they hoped together and helped each other grieve together. And some people were able just to step away going, well, it did work in a mystical way that we just don't fully understand. That same experience happened, but they all had different experiences. What is your experience with prayer? Similarly, when my grandmother died and I was in a very fundamental space, I had this little voice in my head that said, if I just went to her casket and prayed over her, she could be raised from the dead. What? I am a science person. I was courted by MIT when I was 15. I know the science. But there was still this voice in my head that said, this isn't going to happen because you're too scared to do this. I don't know what that voice looks like for you. If you have a voice in your head that says, this would happen, but you're not doing this. Or you want this, but are you sure that that's what God wants? I don't know what that voice feels like for you. Or maybe you have shame or guilt that your prayer life does not look like what it used to, or what you feel like you need it to look like. But I want to encourage you that your journey is your journey. And if it brings you into greater awareness of how absolutely good and beautiful and interconnected this world is, then do it. Do it. What that prayer looks like for you can be very different from what it does for me. Do it. And as somebody who has gone through a little bit of that journey, I'd like to bring up one of my friends to talk about her journey through prayer. Nita.
I love you. My journey through prayer has been beautiful. A lot of my prayer experience, my background comes from a Baptist church. And so this is how you show up in order to connect with the divine. And this is how you do things. Whereas now it is like so different. Like so different. My experience, I went through, okay, so a few years back I experienced some really heavy things. to the point where as I tried to connect with God, the same way and the same practices that I was doing wasn't really working. And I did not know how to shift. And I kept trying to show up so that I could experience and feel him in the same ways that I did back then. But I was different. And that was an invitation for me to step into a new spiritual practice with who God was. And he went back to beginning things where I started to feel connection with him through being in high school and really being intrigued by how the Native American culture practiced connecting with the divine and recognizing Mother Earth and Father God. You know, so that's something that I incorporate now is saging to cleanse myself and get myself into a mindset of being able to step into what it is that I would like to experience with God. Is it going to make me holy and better and XYZ? No, it's not. But it's something for me. It's something that I do for myself. The other thing, too, that I do is I connect with nature. When my father was passing, he grew up Catholic. And I'm not, when I bring up these experiences of religion, Catholic, Baptist, whatever, I'm not trying to bash them in any way, shape, or form. Yet, some people's experiences were not very positive, and my father's was not a very positive one. So whenever we talked about God with him, his expression would be, I don't want anything to do with it. But yet when he was outside hunting and he was doing all these things that he loved doing outside, that's when he experienced his connection with the divine. And who says that he wasn't praying? Who says that he wasn't getting what he needed? You know? So being able to go outside and take my socks off and walk on the grass so that you can feel the energy of the earth. Going and hugging a tree. I've talked about hugging trees before, and people, I'm telling you, I do it. Or even stepping outside and talking to my beautiful oak that has been there for who knows how many years and thanking her for providing shade. Prayer for me now is walking what I call my estate, which is my home. Because I'm so grateful that I own property and I'm able to walk it. And I thank God. Thank you very much for the things that you've given to me. And thank you so much. That is a form of prayer. Expressing gratitude for the things that we have. And it doesn't always have to be gratitude in the sense of happy for what we're going through. It can be, I'm so happy, or I am experiencing and expressing gratitude for the fact that, you know what, this is going to be hard, but I know that in the end, something beautiful is going to come out of it, because I do believe in that. So that is how I show up and pray. Quiet. Listening. I'm a talker. I love to talk to people, and I'm loud, and anybody who knows me can attest to this. But God has also invited me into spaces and places of being quiet so that I don't always have to be listening. Or not listening, always talking so that I actually have an opportunity to sit and listen. So that's how my experience with prayer has turned. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you. Yeah, when we get away from some of the shopping list mentalities, right, that we have. And I think a lot of times for me, that was really based in action and production and getting and driving. And so for me, understanding a lot of that for me comes from a society that says we do and we do and we do and we do. And to break away from some of that messaging and just sit and still with an openness, I think is fantastic. I have something I was going to read right here. It makes me think of what you said. Prayer. Not getting the answers, but staying open to wonder, to pain, to love, to what is unfolding. And so I love that you are being aware of the things that are unfolding in your life. So thank you. A few stories, because I love stories. Recently, there was a research where they took people who clean hotels for a living. They told one group, they all do the same amount of labor, right? They all do the same amounts of labor, and they took one group of them and said, you know, fantastic, you're doing this, keep it up, and just praised them for their work, but then left it at that. And the other group, they sat and talked about what that work did for their body. Did you know lifting all of this is helping your heart health? And do you know that this is this? And by singing with all of your coworkers together, you are releasing endorphins in your brain. And you're, and they talked and talked and talked about the health benefits of the work that they were already doing. And they studied them for a good amount of months later. The people who were just given the attaboy and a pizza party, right? They had no significant change in their health. But the people who were doing the same work, but were aware of how the work was affecting their body, all of their health numbers went to the good. We're already praying in some ways. The Bible talks about even though rocks will cry out, right? If you take a look at the word of God, the acronym, the wording for the name of God in traditional Hebrew sounds like breath. It's just breathing sounds. When a baby is born, the first thing it does is speak the name of God. The last thing you do when you pass away will be speak the name of God. It's about being aware of intentionally connecting with the worship and prayer you are already doing. And so as a person who started deconstructing her faith a number of years ago, I am going to talk for a second as I try to find this poem. I'm going to pretend that you can't see that I'm struggle busing to find this. It's going to be great. You're not going to notice at all. And I'm going to read this poem. I leave you with this today. It is called A Prayer for the One Who is Unfolding. O mystery, beyond my former knowing, I no longer stand where I once stood. Certainty has slipped through my fingers, and what is left is not empty, but aching and open. I unthread the stories I once held tight, not to discard the sacred, but to find it again in the questions, in the cracks, in the places I was told not to look. I do not ask for all the answers, only the courage to keep asking and the grace to befriend the silence in between. Let wonder be my new devotion. Let pain not be proof of distance, but the raw place where you meet me still. Let me be surprised by joy, by mercy, and by how much love survives this unraveling. You are still here. Meet me not in the ruins of what was, but in the becoming of what could be. And if I must build again, let it be with open hands, with softer walls, and windows wide enough for every honest doubt and trembling hope. Thank you so much for being a part of this service today. While I don't have answers, I want to encourage you to follow your experience, follow what feels good. And there's nothing wrong with traditional prayers. Hear me on that. A wedding dance would be no fun if no one knew how to do the electric slide, right? There is a certain place for rote memorization of classics. Embrace the electric slide. embrace the new cha-cha slide. Do the hokey pokey of prayer, right? Because it all is joyful to the Lord. And if it brings you joy, we are here for it and want to celebrate it with you. Have a fantastic, fantastic Sunday. Go and have all of the delicious brunch food. And if you have any questions or you want to talk about volunteering around this church, so that would be super, super, super awesome. You could come and talk to me about that. And I would love to be able to meet you in prayer if that would be helpful to you in your journey. Have a great Sunday, everyone. Thank you.